Open up your spirit this morning. Open up your mouth, open up your spirit this morning. My heart is open for instruction this morning. I'm all here this morning. Spirit, soul, body. My mind is alert. My spirit is listening. I will hear what is taught, but I will catch what is not taught. My I make a demand on heaven this morning. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you, for we know that all of heaven is attentive to us this morning. Thank you because we know that you will speak a word to us this morning, a word that is in season. We will find direction. We will find instruction. We will find correction in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Come and celebrate God this morning. Hallelujah. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I don't see people that are glad this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please help me greet the person beside you. Tell them this year you will definitely flourish as you listen to instruction. Please be seated in God's wonderful presence. Praise God. So we're still learning about how to flourish this year. And you know, one of the things that I don't play with is the word God speaks over our year. Over time, I've learned how important it is. And I mean, for some of you who know my story, please, easy. Is this 7 minutes I have to preach? Because me, I don't like Korelu. Kunachinjam. And minus the one I used to pray in tongues. Okay. So, for those of you, people that know my story know how the word has changed my life. Literally every part of my life. So I don't take anything God says for granted. So when God gave us the word that we should flourish this year, it wasn't just another word. You know, sometimes that's why I am shocked at how people can be complacent when it comes to God and what he says. If you know that when God says a word, because God, it is impossible for God to lie, that thing must happen, you will take it seriously. Am I right? So if God said, let there be light, and there was light, God said, fish come out, fish answered. And then God says, you flourish. Do you think it makes sense for you not to take that instruction seriously? There was something Pastor Keith said at the beginning of the year, and that thing has just been ringing in my spirit. He said, flourish is not a prayer point. It is a command. Do you remember him saying that? I think we need to say it so we hear it. Say, flourish is not a prayer point. It is a command. And what do you do to commands? You obey. You obey commands. So when God says flourish, this is not the year to say, makaya kaka, I will flourish. Yes, there's a place for prayer. But then you must step out and go and flourish. Because that's the only option you have. Praise God. So this morning, we're going to go a little bit deeper. Let's let's look at Matthew 13. We'll read from verse 24 to 30. Interestingly, it's a story you know, but there's just some things that God brought to light for me this year as I was reading it. Matthew 13, verse 24. I will read it in the NKJV. Somebody just said, ooh, what's that? In other words, Pastor wants us serious this year. Yeah, I will read King James sometimes. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. What did he sow? What did he sow? Good seed in his field. Verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. After sowing the tares, what did the enemy do? He went his way. 26. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. 27. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Next verse. He said to them, an enemy had done this. An enemy had done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? 29. But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Praise God. Now, there are a few interesting things about this scripture and a few things that I think can really help us this year if we will listen. So the first thing, go back to the verse 24. The first thing I noticed here, it says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. So first of all, you are God's field, and God has sown a seed in your life this year. And that seed is the word. How many of us know that? And so the word God spoke over us this year is what? Is what? See, you should give me ginger this year. Me, self sleep, they catch me. Is what?
Flourish.
Beautiful. It's flourish. And this scripture tells us that the word is good. There is nothing wrong with the word spoken over you. Because I know a lot of people are running around combining words of the year. In that church, it's the year of divine multiplication. So it's my year of divine multiplication while I flourish and bloom. There's nothing wrong with the word over you. That word that has been spoken, as far as it's God that spoke it, it's a word that has been planted and it will produce. It's my year of higher dimension in flourishing and, relax, flourish. All you need to do is to take that word and first believe that it's a good word that God has sent to you. The second thing I noticed, next verse. It says, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. While men slept. This tells me that the only time the enemy will have access to you this year is if you are not paying attention. So I'm not coming with any deep revelations today. I just want to bring to your attention some of the things that Pascal has been saying to us over time. But I want to remind you that in 2023, you must pay attention. This is not the year that you lose focus. Because a lot of things will happen this year that will make you want to lose focus. The enemy is not joking with you. And I've said it over and over again that the person you're playing with is not playing with you. When I was growing up, there was a parable that My grandmom used to come and visit us a lot when I was much younger. She used to tell us a lot of stories. So I believe that's where DJ got the storytelling thing from. And so she used to tell us a lot of stories. And then there was this particular story she told us that I somehow never could shake. It was about the lion and the lamb. So there were these two families. One was the family of the lion, the other was the family of the lamb. And every day, the two mothers, the two families had children at the same time. So they had a young lamb that was about the same age as the young lion. And so when their mothers would go out, of course, it doesn't make sense that they would go out to the market, but that's what they tell us then. Now, when their mothers would go to the market, these two animals, found out that we live near each other, so they would come out and they would play. So they were doing this thing successfully. One day they now overplayed. Their parents now, it was time for their mothers to come back from market. And as they were coming back, the lion was coming from this side. The lamb was coming from this side. The lion say, this boy is playing with his food. I can't believe it. No. Child that may I get better. He's playing with food. Meanwhile, as the mother lamb was coming, she was saying, Jesus Christ, this boy will not kill me. She didn't say Jesus Christ, but you know what I mean. This boy will not kill me. How can he be playing with lion? And so the two children somehow found out that, it's time, our parents will soon be home. Not knowing that their mothers were told, they said goodbye and went their separate ways. So when the lion got home, he met his mother at the door waiting for him. Say, you must be a big fool. You saw food. You did not kill it and bring it home. Let us eat. He said, no, it's my friend. What? Your food can never be your friend. Talk to the boy. When the other one went home, he saw his mother sitting outside crying. Mama, what is it? You want to kill me? How can you be playing with lion? They eat us. They don't want to eat your other brother, your other sister, your cousin. Describe everything to him. And so the next day, the young lion wanted to make his mother proud. Went outside, did not see his friend, so he went to his friend's house and knocked on the window. I said, won't you come outside and play today? When he opened the window, he saw that the eyes of his friend had changed. And so he said to him, that thing your mother told you yesterday, my own mother too told me. And so the moral of the story is, pay attention. The person you are playing with is not playing with you. Satan is not here to joke around with you. Of course, he doesn't want you to flourish. So he will do whatever it takes. I have never met anybody more intentional or more focused than Satan. Human beings are the ones that are distracted. Satan knows exactly what he wants to do and how he wants to achieve it. Satan does not just come to make you sick. He has an agenda. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he's not content with just making you angry. He's not content with just putting offense in your heart. He has a 3-point agenda. And until he actualizes everything, he will not stop. He won't stop. So he's not, even if he goes away, he knows what he's doing exactly. So go back to that other scripture that we're reading. I want to just stay with that scripture this morning and just, you know, so it says, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the reeds and did what? And went his way. I find that very interesting. That Satan will just sow seed and be going. Why? Because number one, he's confident in his seed. Number two, he knows you. Number three, he knows the sin that so easily besets you. So Satan is smart. You are the one awake, having sleepless nights over Satan, looking in the wrong direction. That Satan wants to do this thing to me. He has already done what he's doing and he has gone. So he said he sowed his own seed and he went away, knowing that it will produce. My question is, why does he have so much faith in his own? Meanwhile, we know that what God does cannot fail. And we don't have confidence in what God has done. Now, you see what happens. God will say, this year you'll flourish. Then Satan will come, put a little doubt in your heart, leave it with you and walk away, because he knows that you will water the doubt rather than the seed God has planted. So this year, be very intentional about focusing on what God did rather than what Satan is trying to do. So he said he sowed the seed and he went away. Give me the next verse. He said, but when it sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Now, I'm going to talk about it in the end, but I just wanted to bring something to your attention. When he says, while men slept, it doesn't mean that you will not rest this year. Okay? What God is saying is that you need to be attentive spiritually. While men slept spiritually, you see, this year can't be a year where you are prayerless. This is not that year at all. This year is a year where you have to be so sensitive to the Spirit, down to what you should wear. Something rather embarrassing happened to me a few days ago, but I'll share it, because me innocent. So I went for my morning walk, my usual morning walk. And so I was using the usual morning walk, prayer walk, sometimes just a gist walk. If I find somebody that will go with me and gist. And so this particular morning we're going, and it was me and the minister of God, that's Pastor Yomi, our resident pastor on the island, we're walking, both of us. So we're walking that morning, and we're talking about, I can't remember what it was, about one, we just get very excited about the word. So we're talking about one scripture and something. And so I was telling her, she was saying, hey, mama, see Revelation, we're just going. And so we had done usually we'll do three rounds, you know, around my estate. And so we had done the second one. And so we're about to go the third one. Not because we needed to go the third one, but the gist was sweet. I do, you understand? You know when somebody's giving you revelation, you don't want to stop. You know that feeling? So the thing was just entering. I should say, hey, mama, wait, how that, wait, how, hey, how you did this Bible? You know, we're just gisting. The Holy Spirit said, turn around. I say, wait, you are not understanding what we are doing here. We're sharing word. He said, I should turn around and want to do what? What am I going to be doing at home? He said, turn around. I didn't say anything. I just continued walking. So we're talking, walking. A few steps past, a few feet past my house, like a few meters past my house. The Holy Spirit said, turn back. I say, wait. And the thing just entering. You know, I know God was just, you know, I mean, anybody that knows of God knows how she can be. So I would say one thing. She will look for one tree to go and climb. She will hold the tree. All those kind of funny things that she will be like, hey, God, this thing. And she say, I said, turn back. I say, wait, we're almost done. So the next, we're just almost halfway into the next. I just heard fra. I say, no. I say, wait. No, this can't be happening to me right now. I say, oh, God. He say, wait. I say, oh, God, let me see my trousers don't tear. Oh, God, say, how your trousers go tear? No, be new. I say, oh, God. Oh, God, the Holy Spirit said I should turn back. But, oh, God, let me see my trousers don't tear. And lo and behold, I did like this. And truly, my trousers are torn. But because God is a merciful God, it is the enemy that did it. He did not see in a way that anybody could see anything. It was just near my knee. You know that kind of small thing that you know that I see. Only you just be holding your thighs together and walking catwalk. Something as insignificant as that, because my ear was attuned to the Spirit, even though I disobeyed, but my ear was attuned to the Spirit. God was willing to tell me something that does not matter to life and destiny. I don't know if you understand what I mean. So how much more the things that are very important to your life? God is willing to share those secrets with you. He said, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things, things that you would never on your own be able to figure out. So this year is not the year where you sleep spiritually, because it is while men sleep that the enemy sows tares. There are things that God will tell you, this thing, let go of it. Let go of it. Let go of it. Give me the next verse. It says, okay, next verse. So it appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? You know, this is usually a picture of most people's year. This year will not be like this. When you get to at some point in the year, where you're supposed to begin to see results, and you're not seeing exactly what you think God said to you at the beginning of the year, and then you start to question, did God really say I should flourish? The servants went to him and said, master, did you not sow? But you were there when he sowed it. You even helped him to sow it. Because when they were shouting, this year is the year of flourish, you shouted amen the loudest. And then at some point, you start complaining that this year is not year, you know. God, I don't understand. So when they went to him, they said, did you know? You see, that point where your faith begins to shift is a dangerous part. But see, the master, he said something to them. He reminded them that an enemy had done this. Listen, no matter what challenge you face this year, I need you to understand that it is not God. It's not God. God only does good things. I need you to say that with me this morning. God only does good things. An enemy has done this. This is not the year to say, God, after everything, after I've served you. You know, someone, it was maybe like 2 years ago or something, or 3 years ago now, I don't even remember. She's one of our Hannah's Heart moms. So there's a ministry I run for women trusting God for the fruit of the womb. And we had been standing in faith with this girl for years. Phenomenal human being. Such a sweetheart. I've been standing in faith with her for years to have a child. And so finally, she came into Nigeria. I bumped into her in Abuja. I hugged her. And she told me that, oh, she was about to go and do an IVF cycle. And I said to her that this is it, you know. We just prayed and agreed. And then she called me weeks later. She was pregnant, but with five. And so the doctor said to her that she needed to take two out. I said, okay, so which one will we take now, John or Jessica? I don't know, which one are we going to take out? Because we've named them. We've believed God for them. We've spoken over each one's destiny. I said, do you believe that you can carry this thing to full term? She said, yeah. She went abroad. The doctors there told her that, of course, she can carry it now. She's young, she's this. You know, they should have told her you can do this. And then a few months later, she calls me and tells me that, in fact, she couldn't tell me. She was wailing. She just kept saying, I'm so disappointed in God. I was so proud of him. And I could feel her pain. She kept saying, I said, what happened? She said, I'm so disappointed. For weeks, she didn't come out of her room. She was depressed. What happened was she went to the hospital for a simple antenatal. Got there. And then she found water was leaking out of her. And they started doing some tests. You know, abroad, they don't play with those things. Before we know it, all five gone. She lost all five babies. All five. And she couldn't shake the fact that God let this happen. I said, no. An enemy has done this. What is God trying to teach you with pain? What is he trying to teach you with problem? What can he possibly achieve from it? God is not gaining anything from your troubles. Your being sick does not make God more God. It's even better for God to keep you in divine health than for him to heal you. So don't go around this year thinking if something doesn't work after, and that's what makes you, you see, that's what Satan is trying to do. You have to understand that he's very sly. Satan is not just planting tares there to just make your field look bad. It is so that you can be offended against God. That's the whole point. Anything that will take the glory from God, anything that will make you stop loving God, is what he's after. So he plants difficult situations in the midst of a year that God has said flourish in your life so you can say God is not good. But remember, that Psalm 92 verse 15 says that what we will say this year is that God is good. He's our beautiful strength. And he never makes a mistake with our life. So that word that we are determined to keep saying this year, Satan is determined you will not say it. And so he's very, very, very intentional. So they started to question. People that planted with him came to him and said, did you not plant good? He said, no, an enemy has done this. Only good comes from God. There is no evil in God. So God cannot give you what he does not have. God only gives good gifts. Good and perfect gifts come from God. Only. So if you're going through a difficult time, understand that it is not God, it's the enemy. And so don't let him distract you and make you offended, because this year he will do a lot of that. At that point, please keep your confession. At that point, see James. Okay, you can bring the scripture back. Bring the James back. James 1:17. It says, every good, not some, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So in other words, what he does for one is bound to do for all. He can't be good to Pastor Amaka and not be good to Pastor Jethro. That's not God. He can't be variable. He can't change. He can't say, oh, Mayor is such a good boy. Let me bless him. This Mark, know the year word. I will do it. He can't do that. Mark hears word, by the way. He can't do that. Just putting it out there. So God does not do bad things. Go back to that scripture. He said, no, the next one. So, go back to the last one. So the servant said something else. He said, Do you want us to go and gather them up? This year, be careful of acting on your own. You never really have the full picture. There are some things that you've got to learn to just wait for God to do. So the master said to them, no, give me the next scripture. The master said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the weeds with them. And that's the danger of moving like God, because you don't have the full picture, God does. You see, God doesn't see the way men see. God sees the heart. So there are some people around you. There are some people that are, you know, speaking, and their voices are becoming a bit loud in your life. And you are thinking, there's a way this person is, so I don't trust this person. God is saying, no, it's not by that. Oh. It's not this one that comes and says, mama di mama, indomitable mama, mama licious mama, mama of life, mama of all mamas. That's the one, gong, that's a witch. Because, you know, unfortunately for us, we judge by the hearing of our ears as human beings. So the one that looks, and it makes you feel spiritual when you think you are discerning. You know, the day I saw the picture of the wheat and tares, I'm sure the last time I preached on the wheat and tares, I brought that picture up. They look alike. You can easily mistake them. So God is saying, there's a level of discernment that I have that you will never have. So this year, you have got to learn to trust God. It will be hard, but you have to learn to trust God. There have been so many times in my life where there have been people in my circle, and I feel like, this person is an amazing human being. And God says, be quiet. Be quiet. And I'm about to show you something, but you can't do anything about it. And God starts to show me that, there's weed here. There's weed here. And I'm like, me, I don't have power. Because me, I'm like, Pastor Maka, if you, I see rubbish, I give you, you see, I move you immediately. I don't have time. Yeah, I just... But there are times when God just says, stop. Let me do it. Because there's a way God will do it. It will be so beautiful. People will not even know anything has happened. So let me give you 4 keys to making sure that this year you flourish. 4 keys. Easy, don't worry. I'll keep the time today. Even if I say so myself. First key, which I've already mentioned, prayer. This year is the year we pray. What did I say? Are you angry? If you let be angry, you will pray. Because if you don't pray willingly, you will pray by force. If you don't pray preventive prayers, you will pray corrective prayers after. But preventive is better. Uh-huh. Praying when you are still speaking for them is better. When you're still saying, Father God, or I speak into my morning, I declare today you will respond to me. Today is a good day. You release all the blessings that have been assigned to me. Satan, I could stop you in your tracks. Today is not the day you are effective. It's still sweet though. Like when you go, Baba, with groanings. You know that type of prayer where you now suddenly realize that phone is not your thing anymore. Prayer when you are still made up and looking too, is sweet though. And it's still powerful. But that's preventive. When there's problem, you will first put your hand like this and remove the wig. Then you sit on the floor. So, and at that time, you don't know whether it is kata or it is tears. Everything is just coming down, or it's sweat. You don't know. And you are not speaking English again. You know those, I don't really believe in speaking in tongues. Even you will not know when tongues will come out of you. Your friends, even people. Oh, there was one day, I think I was, I must have been in year 2 or something. Or was it my first year in university? I came home for holiday, and my brother had an accident. So they came to tell my mom, and my mom is kind of person, you don't tell her anything. You don't tell her anything, pretty much. So they came to tell her, they didn't say anything, they just said, hey, mommy, Ekene, she just fainted. So the person, mommy, I'm sorry. I know she's watching. I'm sorry. The person that brought the news, didn't even finish the news. All of us now started trying to revive my mom. My father, oh God. My father was trying to revive her, everything. I didn't know. See, other while I was pretending I was still Catholic. I used to hide and go to fellowship when I was in school. When I come home, I would go for mass 5 a.m. Pretend like I'm a good Catholic girl, hang groceries in my room so that my parents don't give me problem. I did not know when Makale Baba Usha came out on me. My father turned. So I'm telling you now, when we can still be speaking English and your coding is intact, there's problem, eh? There's problem that will bring tongues out of you. Others are just praying in tongues. I don't even understand it. How you praying something you don't understand? At that time, you will be glad that your understanding is unfruitful. Because what the Holy Spirit just said out of you, if your understanding had understood it, you will know that there's issue. Because at that time, I believe that what I said brought her back from the spirit. Because she even made the woman self shock, open her eye. So this year, we will pray. Now, when Pastor Jethro them are telling you, let's pray, pray. When they are still telling you, let's do Zoom prayer, pray. Because a time is coming when Zoom prayer will not help you. So now that Zoom prayer is still available and Pastor Jethro is chill, if you knock on his door, Sister Neka will not open door for you. Pray now. You say, we prepare for the day of war in the time of peace. That's when you prepare for war. If by the time there's trouble, you are afraid, there's no strength in you. Your strength is small. Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, it is because your strength is small. So this year, we're not going to allow Satan at all. As you wake up, you see, that's one of the secrets God gave me for this year. He said to me this year, as you open your eyes, before I used to wake up at 4:30, but now, my youth is renewed. It's 5 o'clock that used to make sense now. So when I open my eyes at 5, before Satan starts to sow tears of social media, Instagram, the first thing I do, and in fact, it happened as a mistake, because the Holy Spirit told me that immediately you wake up, first thing I want you to do is allow me pray through you. Because you know not how you ought to pray. You don't even know. You don't even know. You don't know what challenges you are going to face in the day. You don't even know what is going to come at you. You don't know what opportunities are going to arise that you will not recognize. You have no clue. We know not how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit of God makes intercessions for you. So the Spirit of God can pray for you. You see, there's all those prayers you have planned your English in your head. Sometimes you are praying off key. Totally. If you don't know the challenge, how will you know what to do? If you don't know the opportunities that are going to come, how do you know how to pray? So he said, the first thing you do when you open your eyes is you're going to let me pray through you. So the first day, I don't know what happened that day. I don't know. Actually, I woke up. I was praying in tongues. But I noticed that my phone was vibrating. So I looked at my phone. A friend of mine was calling me. But then I noticed that it looked like the screen was looking like Instagram. So I was wondering, is she calling me through Instagram? So I caught it and sent her a message that I'm praying. She now said, yes, but you are live. I say, So after everything, I finished praying and all that. So I told her, can you imagine? I didn't even know I was live. Then the Holy Spirit said, that's even a good thing. Because that's one of the ways to get you committed, to get other people on board. So I put out a message that morning, later in the day. And I said, that I thought, of something, hashtag P-A-W-O-T, powered. How many people would like to pray as we ought to? And let the Holy Spirit pray with us. 5 a.m. every morning. And my face is not going to show. So I'm just acting as your alarm clock. So when you see Pastor M is live, just keep your phone and be praying your own prayer. Because I'm not looking for you people. I'm not raising prayer points. I'm just praying. And I was surprised to see how many people responded. So I'm like, so there's a hunger for prayer. You are not looking for who to call you people to the prayer. You don't know that you need the prayer. Okay, no problem. I have donated myself to be the one to wake you at 5 a.m. every morning so that you can pray. But it has changed my life in the last couple of days. Maybe just 4 days or 5 days. I don't even know how many days I've done it. Just this week, my ability to hear God has become heightened. The things that normally would scare me before have become like bread. And I'm saying, if my spirit is being built like this, Imagine what will happen at the end of the year. If I can do this consistently for 1 year, that the Spirit of God is praying for me before I enter the day. He's already addressing things. In fact, there are some things that come out of my mouth. Because sometimes when I'm praying in tongues, I speak in my understanding as well. I'm shocked. I'm like, why am I praying this? I would never have thought on my own to pray this. So this year, praying, especially if you can pray in tongues, oh, if you can't, please go and get information. You see, that's blockage. An enemy has done this. That thing in your head that is telling you, all this praying in tongues, I beg me, I don't understand this. Does it mean that God will answer your prayer if you don't pray in tongues? I didn't say that too. God will answer your prayer. It's just that you will not pray what you are supposed to pray. When you pray in tongues, you can't pray amiss. But when you are praying in your understanding, you can pray amiss. Because your understanding is there. Which means that some people, even when God says, pray for this person, and you don't like the person, your understanding will tell you, we don't like this person, so we can't pray for the person. But if you are praying in tongues, the Spirit of God is making intercession. He's praying for the person. Me, I don't know. Because if I even know self, I go stop him. All of you are good like that. You offend me. I don't really know how to pray like that. I'm trying now. God is changing me. But except you want me to say God punish you further than that. But you understand? So it's easier to pray in tongues. I'm saying, why are you pretending? Have people not offended you before? I say God will punish you. God will not punish the person. I will see your prayer. It's the enemy that will help you. It's the one that... Praise God. So the first thing is prayer. This year you must not sleep, because it is while men slept that the enemy had access. The second thing, and I've said it before, but I'm just emphasizing. I want to give you the four keys. The second key is to pay attention. You have to pay attention, which means you must be discerning to listen to God's voice. You know, sometimes we can think we know something. An enemy has done this. So we just say, let's move. Let's go and scatter. Let's go and... God is saying no. But you won't know this except you are listening. Interestingly, when you look at Abraham's life, Abraham is a perfect example of somebody that flourished easily. Why? Because he could understand and hear God. God said, leave your family, everything, and go to a land that will show you. Abraham, because his mind could not carry it, he said, let me carry my nephew. Ishak carried his nephew. There was problem. The promise God gave him did not come to pass until the Bible says that then after Lot left, then God said. So there are some things that God was keeping that he could not say until Abraham was alone. The Bible says that Abraham, he said, I called him alone and I blessed him. So it was when he followed alone that he was blessed. All those ones that he had been encountering when Lot was following him was not blessing him. That was tospi, appetizer, to show that God can bless. But after Lot left, that's when God told him, I'm your exceeding great reward. I said, go outside, look up. He said, you see the stars? Can you count? The guy even tried. He said, I can't. He said, He said, your children will be like this. For somebody that cannot even... His body was dead. Let me just leave it that way. And God said, this is how your children will be. This is how you look down. This is how your children will be. So this year, pay attention. When God now gave him the child, if it was like most of us Christians, that we are very spiritual, God said, I am sure I heard God. The person that said can say he's not saying again now. Say, carry your child up and go and sacrifice him. He reached there, carry knife. God say, don't touch that boy. If it's some of us, I know what I heard. Isaac. Oh, sorry, I'm looking the wrong direction. Because her son's name is Isaac. Make sure you don't go back. They say, Isaac. God say, don't touch the land. Do him no harm. He say, see, I have already provided for you. If you are not following, listen to me. This is something God said to me personally, but I'll share with you. This is the year of the shepherd. This year. See, at every point you follow God, he will lead you by still waters. He will lead you to greener pastures. The minute you move on your own, valley of the shadow of death, he will come after you, but with rod. and staff. And that rod is to flog you, the staff is to you, because you know the hear God. Follow me. The crook is to grab your neck, because you don't want to hear God. But God is determined you'll flourish this year. But must you suffer? He said, don't be like the mule. Don't let me use circumstances to force you to follow me. Let me guide you with my eyes. Pay attention. I don't know, this generation, things have changed, but when we're much younger, if you go out with your mother, you have to be paying attention. Because one auntie who is an enemy and wants to do this cannot come to you and say, fine girl, I've not seen you since take biscuits. And your mother's eye. And then your auntie will turn and say, Abi, did you tell them not to eat outside? And your mother will say, me? No! If you let her guide you with her mouth, you have entered trouble. He says, I will guide you with my eyes on the best pathway for your life. So it's not what you are hearing, you know, it's what you are seeing. That's why he says, I will stand upon my watch and I will see what he will say to me. Instead of what I will hear, he said, I will see. You better keep your eyes on him this year. Pay attention. The third thing, patience. If you're going to flourish this year, you need patience. You need lots of patience. Lots and lots and lots of patience. There are some things God will say, allow me to grow together. Not every time I want to go. Not every time I want to cut it. Not every time I want to leave it. I want to leave it away. I want to throw it away. I can't deal. You will deal. This year you will deal, oh. And before your mental health starts acting up, you better tell it. Say, this year, makala boko shoto. Because you don't know what to say, let the Holy Spirit make intercession for you. That this is your mental health. It will help this year. This year will require patience. There are some things I can't share, but what God has taken. See, patience, I understand it more than anybody. It's not just waiting. It is also having a good attitude while you're waiting. You are in the midst of something, and all you're asking God is, how can I serve you? Like a waiter. You are saying, Lord, how can I serve you? And you are seeing all the problems. You are seeing all the challenges. And God is saying, it's about me. Look at me. Me. Keep your eyes on me. I want you to do what I want to. I want you to do. It's not about you. It's not about how you feel. Look at me. Patience. If you really love, you see, love is patience. I love you, Lord. What does that mean? It means I will be patient with you, sir. You don't know. So this year requires patience. He said, allow them to grow together. Don't be in a hurry. Don't think you know what God is doing. Don't become so used to what God is doing that you don't see wonder in what he does anymore. And the final one, submit yourself for pruning. I will focus on that in second service. Submit yourself for what? I found something interesting today. normally, you don't read Bible, you read Bible. How many people did not do agriculture here? Let me see. In school, you didn't do agric. Put your hand. Why do I say go to farm? You say, no, I want to stay in the kitchen. I want to do food and nutrition. Look at it now. You didn't say it's our year of baking. No, it's our year of flourishing. Do you understand it? No. So if you are like me, that we were forming food and nutrition, you better go and study what flourishing and pruning and all the things that happen around flourishing mean. So this year I was reading pruning. It says, pruning in horticulture, I'll do it in second service, I just want to read something to you, means the removal or reduction of parts of a plant, tree or vine that are not requisite to growth or production and are no longer visually pleasing or are injurious to the health or development of the plant. Pruning is not a punishment. It is necessary for flourishing. There are some things that God will cut. Cutting is painful. But we'll talk about it in second service. Were you blessed this morning? Can we rise to our feet this morning? You're going to take exactly 1 minute and nothing longer. 1 minute to pray in tongues. For those who don't pray in tongues this year, I want to encourage you to go and study and learn about it. We're going to pray for ourselves. But before we do that, I'm just going to quickly lead. There's somebody in this room today that has probably not given their life to Christ. He's your farmer. He's the one that is going to dress you. He's the one that's going to prune you. He's the one that sowed the seed. You are his field. If you have not given your life to Christ, then you're probably going to struggle a lot with the word for this year. So if you're out there and you want to start that relationship with Jesus, I'm not one of those preachers that will convince you, that will cajole you, something way good. I'm not a bad person, though. So this morning, if you are that person, boldly take that step and raise your right hand up. And let me pray with you this morning. I'm not all those close your eyes. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We all did it. Have you, Pastor Jethro? All those bow your head, close your eyes. In fact, these days I hear that in churches, if you want to give your life to Christ, they say you should press on your phone, yes or no. I don't understand all those things, so. And that's why we're having Christians who are less and less vocal. So if you're out there and you want to give your life to Christ and you want to start a serious relationship with him, or you're even born again and you feel like, oh, it's not what they do since, never enter. So I want to start now. If you're out there, please raise your right hand. Let me just pray with you quickly. I promised this year I was going to come down. I'm going to come down in exactly 2 minutes. If you're out there and you want to say that prayer with me this morning, is there anybody? Fantastic. I see someone at the back. Do you want to take another bold step and come forward this morning and stand with me? God said, if you are not ashamed of me, I will not be ashamed of you on that last day. Come out boldly this morning. Everybody clapping has or should have done it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Or did all of heaven move this morning just for this amazing, beautiful girl? Is there anybody else this morning? Hallelujah. If there's nobody else this morning, sweetheart, put your hand on your chest and say, Lord Jesus, today I commit myself to you. I ask you to come into my heart and be Lord of my life. I believe that you died for me and that you rose again and you paid the price for me. Today I am born again. I am now a child of God. I receive the Holy Spirit as my birth certificate. And from today, I receive power to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at me. Welcome to the family of God. Please follow this young gentleman. He will talk to you for a few minutes. Come on, celebrate God. And finally, praise God. I want us to just take 1 minute and just pray in tongues. Just say, Father, this morning I yield myself to you that you will make intercession for me so that I pray aright. I commit this year to make this year a year of prayer. This year I will pay attention. I will follow you. I will not make it difficult for you to lead me this year. Malikedebo Shatalia Mambra Hadegede Reke Yushotolia Bahanda Kadariadagede Rikatose Membregelu Shatalia Mambra Hadegede Rakatalia Mambra Hadegede Sata. Ingalo shatani amamra hade ke isa kaliada gele rekedo shata.